one. In fact, I'll do, here's, I love to do surveys. They're always, they're just as scientific as anybody else's. How many of you know someone who has made a profession of faith at some point in their life, but as far as you know, now they're far from the Lord, they're not in church, they really have no desire to be in church or be around the things of God. How many of you know someone like that? Okay, now here's my second question. Did they really get saved or not? Now, the simple matter of fact is we don't know, do we? We're not God. But it's a great concern, isn't it? Especially when it's family. You have a loved one, especially if you have a parent who is sick and near death or something, and they've made a profession, but Bob Bryant has us pray for his brother every Saturday morning. A man who says he is saved, but his life has no indication of that whatsoever. Those are very troubling situations, aren't they? When you just don't know. Some of you have children who have made profession of faith, but they're not living for the Lord. It's just very, very difficult. Now, as Paul is thinking about the believers at Thessalonica, this was his concern. He had been there. He had preached the word of God. These folks had made professions of faith, but he knew that when he left, they were under great persecution, great trouble. And he had no way of knowing, was their faith strong enough to carry them through? Were they really believers, or had they just made a profession of faith? And so what did he do? This is a question, not well stated, but it is a question. What did he do? He sent Timothy to find out. He didn't have a telephone. He didn't have any way of communicating with him. He couldn't Skype or do FaceTime. He had no knowledge what was going on, and so he sent Timothy to find out what was going on at Thessalonica. And today, as we come to chapter 3, we're going to find Timothy's going to return, and he's going to report on the faith of the people of Thessalonica. Was it strong? Was it real? Had the devil been victorious in tempting them? Had they fallen? What had happened? Now, before I get to the answer, okay, before I get the answer, I want to spend a little bit more time in verse 5. I spent some time there last week, but it really deals with this issue that I've talked about in the introduction. Let's read that verse 5, and we're going to see the reason that he sent Timothy. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your what? Your faith. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Here's the reason that he sent Timothy. Now remember, Paul was the one that had preached, and through his ministry, these people had made professions of faith. He was their spiritual father. There was a special relationship. Now, if you've won anyone to Christ, you know how Paul felt. And so here he was. He wanted to see, were they established in the faith? Had he been successful in giving them a firm foundation for their faith, or had they failed? And look at the wording there in verse 5. Some means the tempter have tempted you. He is really concerned, had their faith failed, or had their faith carried them through this thing. Now, the reason that how did he know they were going to go through persecution? Or there is a general rule for believers. If you live for Christ, what's going to happen? You're going to suffer persecution. How else did he know? He was there, right? He was there, but what did he do when the persecution came? He left. That's right. What did they do? Well, they lived there. They had to stay there, and they're under this persecution. They were right in the middle of it. Now, when do people typically fall away from the Lord if they do? In all of my years of ministry, I have never gone to somebody and they say, yeah, I made a profession of faith, or I got saved, and then, you know, things were just going great. My family was wonderful. I had all the money I needed. Didn't have any sickness. The people at church loved me, and I loved them, the pastor. We were just getting along great. The church was in unity. Everything was just going great, and that's when I left. I've never heard that. Okay, never. Now, it may happen. There may be some out there. Typically, when do people kick the traces. When do they leave? Well, you know what? I was going along and I got sick. You know, I had this physical problem. And they may not say it, but their conclusion was, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. I had this financial collapse. Boy, I've seen that. I won't do it, but I could give you names of people who were faithful in our church, and they had a great financial trial, and they're no longer in church. I had family problems, and I could tell you family names. Family names. Boy, we were living for the Lord. We were trying to raise our kids in the church. And man, boom, this happened. Fellowship issues. That guy on the other side of the class, you know. Can I pause here for just a minute? If anybody is sitting in this room and you say, you know, the reason I sit on this side is because there's a guy on that side I don't like, I hope the Holy Spirit of God will convict your soul and you'll get that right. That should not be in the house of God. Now, I know this is my best side. Probably this is the best side, actually. Believers, folks, we should not be that way. But the simple matter of fact is people fall away when things get tough. Think about the story. You learned the song when you were a young kid if you went to church. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Now, when was the foundation revealed? When the storm came. And the one who based his life on, thus saith the Lord, and obeyed the Lord, his life stood, didn't it? The one who didn't and based his life on his own philosophy, his own ideas, that person fell. And it's when the storm comes typically that people fall. That's when they fall away. It's easy to live for the Lord when everything's great, isn't it? A little tougher when things are hard. And Paul is saying, you know what? I know that you folks are going to suffer tribulation. We saw that in verse 4. And he said, boy, I just don't know if you made it or not when the tribulation came. Notice the other thing he talks about here. Not only tribulation, but what's the next thing? What's the other thing that might have crumbled their faith or showed that their faith wasn't real? Temptation, yeah. Tribulation and temptation. And it's interesting, he says the devil, the tempter have tempted you. In the original language, that is a present tense verb. What does that mean? Continual. And I've spent some time there. I don't want to camp here, but I do want to remind you, if you're a child of God, you are a continual target for the devil. Continual target for the devil. And he wants to undermine your faith. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to tempt you, and so that something goes on in your life and you leave the faith. And here he's saying, look, I just don't know if your faith was real or not. By the way, and again, I'm not God, and I'm not going to tell you if these people you know are believers or not, but I do want to remind you of 1 John 2:19. Here's what it says. They went out from us. It does not say because they didn't like us, because we didn't treat them nicely, because they were not of us. What is he saying? They weren't saved. Now, is it possible to come forward in a service and weep and have great emotion and not really get saved? Undoubtedly. How do you know? How do you know? I've seen people come forward smiling and get saved. I've seen people come forward weeping uncontrollably. I said saved. Make a profession of faith. How do you know if it's real? What is the acid test of reality? One word. Fruit. And how do you know? The word I'm looking for, and I'm not being very clear, is the word time. Because over time, what do you find out? if they keep on living for the Lord, if they're spiritual fruit, okay? If their life really changed. Matthew chapter 13 is a chapter content quiz. There's several parables there. Can you name one of them that would illustrate my point? It's called the parable of the... There is the tares and the wheat, and that's a good one. Yeah, the seed and the sower. There were four different kinds of ground, weren't there? Yeah, what was the first kind of ground? What was it? It was the wayside, and it was very hard. And when the seed was scattered on it, what happened? Absolutely nothing. It was so hard, it was gone. And what did he say? That's like when someone hears the gospel and the devil plucks it away and there is no profession. There's nothing. I've experienced that. Have you ever given the gospel to somebody and it's like the wayside? It's like, I don't care. I don't care. There's a second kind of soil. That was the rocky soil. Interesting. This person hears the gospel, and what do? They profess. They accept it. They accept it. And it says about that person, when the hard times come, what happened? They fall away because there's no root. Because it's hard. It's that rocky soil. And it says, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. There's that time element. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. My personal opinion is that person was never born again. The third kind of soil, what kind was it? Fell among the weeds. Okay, so here's some seed that goes in. What happens? Person hears the gospel, receive it, spring up, looking good, and then what happens? The cares of the world, it says in verse 22, he heareth the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, there's great debate here about whether this person was really saved or not. If they were fruitful, but now they're unfruitful, we'll know in heaven, okay? They may have been, they may not have been. Now, the fourth group is the one that fell in the good soil. And what is true about that? Boy, they receive the word, it springs up, and they are fruitful. And it's interesting, in that passage, they're not all equally fruitful, but they are fruitful. So in my personal opinion, 25% that received the word really got saved. Now, that's my opinion. It may be 50. Who knows? I don't know. But the point is, just because people receive the word and make a profession doesn't really mean they really got saved. Okay? Now, by the way, I'm not trying to cause you to doubt your salvation today, unless you need to. that's not my job. My point is, this was Paul's concern. Were these people really believers? Had they endured the trial? Had they endured the temptation? Were they going on for God? Now, again, if you've ever led someone to Christ and then they've moved or you've lost contact with them, you wonder. I wonder if they're at church somewhere. Some of you may remember Rick and Kim Davenport. Years ago, Brubaker and I were out visiting. They were having revival, Comfort was having revival, and we went out to Kaiser Circle and led Kim to the Lord. And they got in our church, my wife and I discipled them, and they were in for quite a while. And then they were gone. That's really, you wonder. Now the great news is, I've run into them several times. They're going now to Sulphur Springs Baptist Church. They're real faithful there in working in missions, the missions program and thing. And that's exciting to hear. But you wonder. Well, that's where Paul was. All right? So, second point, the report from Timothy. Here's the report. All right, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us, oh, here it is, good tidings. That's an interesting word. You know that word. Except usually it's translated something else in the Bible. What do we call the good tidings? The good news. Yeah, and what's the word? The gospel. That's the same word. It's the gospel. He said, I got good news of your, what was the thing he was concerned about? Their faith. And what did he get? Good news of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. So Paul was, by the way, Paul was in Athens when he sent Timothy. He's now in Corinth. And so he hears about Timothy's coming and he wonders, what's the report going to be? And oh, hallelujah. Timothy shows up and he said, Paul, I want you to know, buddy, their faith was real. They're going on for the Lord. Their faith is not phony. It's not faded. It's real. They're standing firm. They're going on for the Lord. They haven't abandoned him. Boy, can you imagine how Paul felt? I mean, he loved these people, and he was so concerned about them. It reminds me of 3 John verse 4, where it says, I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in the truth. And isn't that what you want to hear? Priscilla's daughter, Vonyi, came to church here. Can I call her V? That's easier for me. I know that's what you guys call her anyway. And I've known, it was funny because I met her yesterday, or she was there at KP and Patience house, and KP was going to tell me, or maybe Patience was going to introduce me to her. And I said, look, I've known her as long as she's been born. So, I mean, I've known her long. And before we ate, V said, I want to pray for the food. And I thought that was a little strange, to be honest. I mean, you know, later, her husband's right there, Emmanuel. I mean, a guy named Emmanuel ought to be able to pray, you know. And she started praying, and hallelujah, heaven came down. I mean, that girl touched heaven. Well, young lady. And it just rejoiced my heart. I mean, she's been gone. She got married. She moved to Nashville. Now they're in Seymour, I think. And here she is. And how old is she now? 34. And you know what she's doing? She's walking in the truth. Hallelujah. What an excitement. She said, tell Mrs. Seaman hello. And oh, I did. I said, oh, you'd be so, because my wife taught her for a couple years in her class. And I said, oh, you would have liked to hear that prayer. I mean, this girl, this young lady, got a hold of heaven in that prayer. Boy, it's exciting. When somebody that you've worked with and you've tried to help along the way and they're living for the Lord, and that's exactly what he found out. These people's faith was still firm. Boy, that's exciting. And notice the other thing he said. Not only their faith, but also their what? Their charity. Now, we don't use that word today. We say their love. Their love for each other was still strong. They loved each other. What a great truth. Now, I've already kind of mentioned this, but there had been no falling away. There was no fighting in the church. They had great love for each other. And we've talked about this the last several weeks, but let me give you a different verse I've not given you. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. What a great truth. And by the way, you guys yesterday illustrated that so well, that you love the brethren. Let me take a couple minutes on this too. If you're here in our class and you say, you know, Gary, I've been coming to this church 30 years and I don't know a soul. You should have been here yesterday. Now, Joey, you're relatively new in our church, but what happened yesterday? We moved some people, okay? But what else happened? You got to meet some new people, didn't you? And you know people now you didn't know before, and you have a relationship with those guys now. You had to carry the couch with them. You had to put great faith in them. See? And you built some relationships yesterday. And if you come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and all you do is sit in the seat, you will never get to know anybody. You may know the two or three people around you, but hallelujah, you get involved doing something for God, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to start meeting some people. You're going to start building some relationships. The people in the cancer ministry know each other. The people in the choir, they know each other. Some of them I wish they didn't, but they do. And I'm not going to say any names like Larry and Scott. I wouldn't do that. But you get in cadets and you get in the bus ministry and these things. You start serving the Lord, folks, and you're going to meet some people and you're going to build some relationships. Now, if you just sit here, we're glad to have you. We really are. You look good. But God didn't save you and put you at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to sit. He put you here to serve. You say, well, I don't have many talents. Well, hallelujah, find the one you've got and do something with it. Everybody can do something. Priscilla, could not be there to move furniture. I was a little bitter about that yesterday. But she sent food. And she can cook. I can move furniture. I can't cook. Okay? Unless it's a grilled cheese sandwich or something like that. Find what God wants you to do. Love the brethren and get in and serve. And these people loved each other and they were serving each other. There was sweet unity. There was sweet fellowship. Notice also, not only did they love each other, but they had good remembrance of Paul. They still loved Paul. They still wanted to see Paul. They wanted to fellowship with Paul just like he wanted to fellowship with them. My, wasn't that a great report? They were still going on for the Lord. Still going on for the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you. As I've studied this lesson, studied this passage, I have struggled a little bit with application. Now, I'm making some as we go along, kind of rabbit trails here, which may help you. But I'm going to make one big one at the end, I hope, that will help you with this too. But Paul is rejoicing that these people are going on for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord were to call me away from this place to another ministry, and I know some of you are praying about that. And 5 years from now, I ran into Pastor at a pastor's conference, and we were talking and fellowshipping about the people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I said to Pastor, what about old Scott Collier? How's he doing? Is he still working the bus? Oh, yeah, Scott's boy, just faithfully, his family going on for the Lord. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. What about the Ellisons? You know, are they still doing the videoing and everything? Are they still faithful in the church? Oh, yeah, they're still. He's 85 now, can hardly move, but he's still at it, you know. We have to use a crane to get him up in the balcony to take the video, but he's still doing it. Hey, man, I wonder, is your faith real? Are you still going to be going on for the Lord 10 years from now? That's probably my greatest application. Because that's what Paul was so excited about. Now look what it did for Paul. Look at this. It says in verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Paul was going through very difficult times, affliction and distress. But he said, we were comforted. You know that word. Because that's the same word we use for the Holy Spirit of God, the paraclete, the one that comes alongside. He said, you know what? He said, man, we have been slaving. We've been preaching. We've been working. Man, it has been tough. And, oh, man, we were kind of dragging anchor. But, boy, we got the news that these guys were walking in the faith. Oh, man, that was such an encouragement to our soul. When we had a chance to go to Iowa and spend some time with the Pruitt son and family and be involved in their ministry with the singles group that they work with and go to the church. Man, that was exciting. That was so exciting. Now, here's a guy that was in our ministry here and worked with the music for us until he got out of the Lord's will and went to Greenville and worked with Fox. And now he's really out of the Lord's will in Iowa, but someday he's going to get right and come back here and help me again. And to see the ministry God is using him in, and he's walking with the Lord. Man, that's great stuff. If you're involved in the ministry, boy, that'll pump you up. That'll get you going. And that's exactly what was the case for the Apostle Paul. He said, man, you are such an encouragement to me that you folks are going on. And he said, as we move through the passage, he says, for now we live, we're invigorated with new life if you stand fast in the Lord. And then look what he does. For what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? He said, you know what? I realize that God's done a work. Now I know, Priscilla, you've been a great mom. But in the end, it's God who's helped V. And really all your children. I understand that D got a baby grand piano this week. That's pretty exciting. Well, her husband's a great piano player. And her husband's serving at teaches piano at Pensacola, and D stand there right beside him doing the work of God. Hallelujah. Boy, that's exciting to me. That invigorates people, I tell you. And what do we praise God? What do we do? Well, the Pruitts were good parents. They did a great job, but really it was God, wasn't it? And God has preserved and used those children to do something for God. And so Paul stops, and he just praises the Lord and says, boy, we just praise the Lord for what he's done. And then he goes on in verse 10, and he says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. What are you saying? He's praised the Lord. He's excited about what's going on. He says, man, it has really pumped me up knowing you guys are going. It's invigorated me. It's encouraged me. And he said, I'm praying that God would continue to do a work in your life and that you'd continue to grow. That God would give you those things that are lacking in your faith. And we had a whole lesson on this a couple weeks ago. But if you feel like you've arrived, then you're in big trouble. Because all of us need to grow. We need to grow. And you know, my desire for you as your teacher, pastor's desire for you as your pastor, is that you would grow spiritually. Now, all of us are growing this way, unfortunately, but we're talking about spiritually, that we would grow. And I'll be honest with you, it's so exciting when you see somebody in the class that's growing, that's stepping out and serving the Lord in a ministry. I hate to lose anybody from the class. But it's okay if they're going to go teach somewhere, if they're growing in their service. It's exciting when somebody who just comes to Sunday school says, you know what, I need to be more faithful. I need to stay for church. And then all of a sudden you look out and you see, is that who I think? Sunday night, you say, well, is that it? Well, that is them. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then lo and behold, after a little while, you look out on a Wednesday night and you say, wow, that's them. Boy, they are growing in the Lord and their desire to be in the house of God. And then you go out and you come Saturday morning at a visitation breakfast and look at, Pastor, did you see who's here? Man, that is exciting. They're growing in the Lord. And they come to you and they say, boy, I've been praying about this and praying about this situation. And God answered in a miraculous way. And you just say, oh, that's good stuff. And praise the Lord. Because they're growing. They're growing. And that's our desire for every believer. Oh, yeah, we want to see people get saved. Whenever I visit, typically, and I don't always do this, but typically if I visit somebody who's visiting our church, I tell them our church has two goals. Number one, to know that you're going to heaven someday, that you're a child of God. And number two, that you become all that God wants you to be. I think I stole that from the Army, maybe, I'm not sure. That we help you to grow and become what God wants you to be at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And that's our heart's desire. And I tell you what, when the leadership sees that happening in your life, boy, that's exciting. That's exciting. It really is. And I could go around the room and I could look at individuals and I could say, boy, I remember when you did this and when you did that and how we've seen you grow in the Lord. And boy, it's just praise the Lord for it. It's wonderful. It's exciting. Now, let me conclude with three questions. I'll try to limit it to three. Number one, is your faith real? Is your faith real? And I trust that it is. I trust that it is. And I know most of you pretty well. And time has showed over time the fruit of your life, that what you have is the real thing. The real thing. Secondly, are you growing in the faith? Okay? Number one, if you're not alive, you're not going to grow, okay? But if you are alive, are you growing? Are you growing? If I was to go to the person and I was out around town and I ran into the, who led you to the Lord? Did your mom lead you to the Lord? Bill Rice Ranch. Wonderful. And did a counselor deal with you or during the preaching you got saved? And I don't know if anybody knew it or not, but say the preacher that preached at the Bill Rice Ranch knew that Mike got saved during that service. And that's been 40 years ago, and the guy's still alive, and you're just out somewhere, and you run into him, and you say, look, I'm Mike Hubbard, and I got saved 40 years ago when you were preaching the Bo Rice Ranch, and you know what he'd want to know? How you doing spiritually, and you could say, I just want to know I'm faithful in church, and I'm serving the Lord, and I'm raising my family for the Lord. And he may be 85, but he'd be flying at that point. Amen. What kind of report would you give? Well, things got kind of hard and I kind of got away from the Lord. Now that happens. But wouldn't you like to be able to say, hey, things are going great. There's some issues, yeah, but I'm growing. I'm growing. I'm serving. I'm faithful. I'm standing. See, that's what it says in verse 8. If ye stand fast in the Lord. Can you give that testimony? I'm standing fast in the Lord. Man, I'm not perfect, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm faithfully living for the Lord. Now, the word perfect, by the way, doesn't mean without sin. It means to fit together, to arrange properly. It's the idea of being mended, like a person mending their nets. They've been fixed, you know. And that's the idea. And his desire is to mend their nets and to help mend their broken spiritual bones and to help them to grow. And that's ours. And are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? If you had to give a report right now to the one that led you to Christ. My mom led me to Christ. She's in heaven today. Could I say, Mom, I just want you to know that I love the Lord. I'm faithfully serving the Lord. Not perfect, but I'm heading that direction. Faithfully serving the Lord. Can you give that report? That's the report that Paul got. That's the report he got. And it brought great rejoicing to his heart. And every one of us as believers should desire to be able to give that report. By the way, just heads up, you are going to give a report someday. Okay? We're all going to stand before the Lord someday. And we need to live for him, seek to please him, to grow in the Lord, to be what God wants us to be. All right? Good. Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful report that Paul received. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as believers to be able to give this kind of report, that our faith is strong, that we're loving the brethren, that we're fellowshipping and serving and doing the work that you've called us to do. God, as believers, help us to grow. Help us to be what you want us to be, I pray. Now, Lord, if you've spoken to our hearts in a specific way, help us, Lord, to respond with obedience and to do your will, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.